It is 8:33, time for History on the Radio, brought to you by the Randolph County Historical Society and featuring our local storyteller, J.W. Ballinger. Good morning.
Good morning, Brad.
I hesitated to let you talk about this because this is my weakness.
Okay. Well, just hang on. We're going to have more fun about page five.
I thought
five.
Maybe you might bring some donuts in with you with this sweet bit of history.
Just hang tight.
All right.
This is called Sweet History, and so here's how we start. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to talk about early schools, early churches, all the neighborhood grocers around Moberly and the county, and more things like that. But this really is an interesting bit of research. And I have to give credit to my old friend Judy Orton, who passed away last year, because of the work that she put into this. Judy, as many know, was a longtime journalist and marketing employee for the Monitor Index. And in her retirement, she was a moving force in researching many, many subjects of history, found in newspapers and other places and on the internet. And she was a strong leader in the work that led up to Moberly's sesquicentennial book, which was extremely popular. And that was because of its in-depth selection of very historical stories. And we still have copies of that, so if you're interested, let me know. So today we're going to talk about somebody else's historical research, not mine. We're going to talk about Judy Orton's effort to compile information on sweet history, that is, the area bakeries. Judy's work is really in-depth. It includes photographs, drawings, advertisements of these establishments she has found, beginning in 1899 through 2012. And there's no way I could do this, her work, justice in a half hour today, so I'm just going to start with only a few of the early bakeries, move on to a bakery I hope many people will remember around Moberly, and finally end up with a few of the donut shops that I remember from my youth from the East Side and the nearby East Side. Now, to get the most out of these historical storytelling bakeries, you got to get your nose ready. It's not just what you hear today. You got to smell the bread, the baked bread. You have to remember the cinnamon rolls, particularly my favorite chocolate cinnamon rolls, the Long Johns and the donuts. And so where do I start when I start doing research? My first thought is to go through directories, particularly city directories, which include county information often as well. So I go back to 1876, 1877 directory. Now that's only 10 years after the founding of this community. And this directory mentions the following under bakeries. First, there was a city bakery. Then there was the W.R. Mueller store. And it was located at 83 Coat Street. Now you can tell by the numbers that we're really early. Bakery and restaurant was at Mueller's and Miller Brother and Company at North Sturgeon. Radel Bakery at 17 North Clark. And he advertised as being a cracker factory. Now, I can kind of remember stories of going into the old general stores and finding barrels of crackers. Maybe you can too. Bailey and Davenport at 64 Reed Street. McNinch and Siebert, 19 Reed Street. And Valentine Regal, a name that comes up quite often in Moberly history, at 13 Reed Street. Again, these addresses are very early. It shows that the basic town of Moberly was at Coates and Sturgeon and Reed Street. There were lots of other residential addresses, but they hadn't got into the blocks yet and named them the 100 through 500 blocks. The original town, that's what we're talking about. Now, give you an idea of the importance of things. In the 1876 booklet, there are seven bakeries, / grocers, / restaurants that did some baking. But there were also 16 saloons mentioned, 9 law firms, and only 2 undertakers. So we're talking about very early in Moberly's history.
All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll cross over into the 20th century as our topic today. Bakeries, J.W. Ballinger will continue right after this.
It's time for the Randolph County Rodeo in Moberly's Rothwell Park, Friday and Saturday, May 31st and June 1st. Gates open at 6 and rodeo at 8. There is entertainment and a dance following the rodeo each night. Friday night, it's Loaded Chamber, and Saturday night, 50-50. Advance tickets are $10 at Case & Keg, Dino Mart, Moberly Parks and Recreation, or the Moberly Chamber office. Gate admission is $12, and children 10 and under is $5. Bringing two canned goods for the local food bank for $1 off adult admission.
We're back. It's History on the Radio. We're talking bakeries, JW.
Yes, we are. So we're going to get into the 1880s. And by that time, there was a substantial downtown business district in Moberly. And in that year, almost all of it was destroyed by fire. And this was the beginning of the brick and masonry requirement for buildings, particularly commercial buildings in downtown. And mention is made in the fire as it related to bakers Henry Conrad and Ed Kaufman, both pioneer premier bakers in this town. By the year of 1896, Kaufman was named as a predecessor of Louis Klein, so that we'll get into the next part of our story. And then he was a partner in a bakery at 412 West Reed Street in 1909. So we enter a more modern era of bakeries and a focus on the baking of bread as a commercial enterprise rather than the home-baked goods of biscuits and bread that was done in the earlier years. At this juncture of the last 25 years of the 19th century moving forward, it's easy to get bogged down because there were a large number of bakers and bakeries in this area. Many of those will remain for another time to talk about and for additional research. And today I'm just going to deal with a few of the modern bakeries and the impact they had on trade in this area and in the state. A fellow by the name of Louis Klein immigrated from the province of Alsace, Germany, came to the United States in 1870 at the age of 15. In 1885, Louis, in Moberly, was employed by a baker by the name of August Merck, another early baker, and he worked at that bakery for 12 years. By 1906, the very frugal Mr. Klein had accumulated sufficient capital. He started his own bakery on North 4th Street, but soon found a need for larger quarters and purchased the property at 412 West Reed. He continued to grow this business and outgrow the building, and so he moved into the 210-212 5th Street in 1917. There Klein had installed a lot of labor-saving equipment, very modern for the day. He employed 11 people, and his establishment is called the largest establishment of its kind in central Missouri. Klein was the first man in Moberly to install an electric motor on his machinery at the bakery. He was also the first merchant in town to have an electric sign. Can you imagine that? Continuing to prosper, Klein received many community accolades, including the designation as Moberly's most useful citizen, and that was by the Chamber of Commerce at their banquet in January of 1946. In 1948, Louis Klein died at the age of 78 after being a Moberly baker for 42 years. His employees, ranging in time of employment from 26 to 30 years each, acted as his pallbearers. And the news articles stated that his business will continue under the management of his only son, Arthur, until his family could make a decision to sell the business. By the way, a number of Louis Klein's families achieved fame on their own. One of those is his granddaughter, Mary Sue Klein, who was chosen as Miss Missouri in 1937. In May of 1949, Moberly Park Board minutes and articles in the Monitor Index relate a gift from the family to erect a 20-by-20 picnic shelter in Rothwell Park. This was in Louis Klein's honor, as he served on the park board and as president for many years. Later, in 1956, an enclosed shelter was built in the honor of Louis Klein by John Buth, another prominent Moberly businessman, and that shelter remains today and is regularly used by many families in Rothwell Park. Now, on May 19, 1951, after the death of Louis Klein, headlines in the Monitor Index declare, "Klein's announced the sale of bakery to a Kansas man." Continuing the long tradition of a premier bakery at that 5th Street location, the new owners, Leroy Gillen and his wife Jane, were from Concordia, Kansas, and the changeover in ownership was consummated at the end of business on May 19th of 1951. Gillen and his wife Jane hit the ground running and planned an open house for early October of 1951. And what a grand opening it was over that two-day period, with over 9,000 people attending. Those attending the open house saw brand new equipment that the Gillens placed in there. They also greeted the 19 employees of the Gillens Bakery and shared a 125-pound cake. Now, if you've not remembered the smells as I tried to get you to do early of the new Gillens Bakery, let me help you out. Again, fresh bread, cakes, cinnamon rolls, hot cross buns at Easter, and more. It was difficult to shop there for just one item, just as it is in any of our donut shops today. But now, it's time that I'm going to share something with you, and the baker in my family has put together Jane Gillens carrot cookies. If you'd like the recipe, we will be glad to call it into the Quick's Cooking Show sometime and have you try it. Now, I was really surprised. There are cooked carrots in these cookies. Go ahead, Brad. Okay. You be first.
Now, see, I feel guilty for trying to guilt you.
Mm-mm.
All right, carrot cookies.
Carrot cookies. Now, there's a little orange zest.
Got a little orange juice.
Uh-huh. Yep. But you can share these with the folks around the station today.
They will be gone.
Yep.
No, Leroy, it's good.
Good. Good baker at my house. Leroy Gillen and Jane ran the bakery in the ways that Lewis Klein had established and continued his very memorable way of being a businessman in Moberly and making the bakery a household name. Leroy himself received many honors for his baking, and he was the Missouri Bakers Association state president for a term. The Gillens ran the bakery from 1951 through 1972, before selling the business to Wayne and Betty Merrill. Now, today that Klein Bakery still exists at another farm. The building is now owned by local businessman Jerry Swartz, and it is home to a beauty salon and apartments. The building was honored recently for its history and for its terracotta front by the Moberly Historic Preservation Commission and named as a notable property. But for many, that building will always be Klein's or Gillen's Bakery, and remembered for the many favorite chocolate-covered Long Johns, cream horns, chewy cinnamon crisps. I hope you've got the smells now.
Really good.
And things that were made there. I remember it very fondly, and I hope many of you do, too.
And that building still has Klein in the stone,
in
right?
In the stone, in the terracotta at the top.
If everybody wondered what Klein is, there you go.
Yep, on Fifth Street. So go by and take a look.
Take a peek, and we'll get you Jane Gillen's carrot cookie recipe on a future cookbook show. Drop that off with Kayla on the way by. We're going to go ahead and take a break, finish up more bakery talk from History on the Radio coming up.
If you have a trip planned to Branson and you look for ways to save money, then check out Bids for Bargains found at CentralMoInfo.com. Click on the shopping tab, then Bids for Bargains. There is a limited supply of Meyer Hotel certificates for Comfort Inn, Best Western, Holiday Inn Express, and Quality Inn. You can also pick up a painting party for up to 10 people at a stroke of magic in downtown Moberly. Kids and adults both enjoy painting parties. Check out Bids for Bargains at CentralMoInfo.com under the shopping tab or call 1-800-892-2300.
So you sit down and you do your budget.
All right, final segment. It's 8:48 here, History on the Radio, JW.
We're going to end up with a few of my favorite donut shops. You heard me talk about the East Side. You know how passionate I am about the people and places on the East Side because that's where I grew up. And there were many other places, but these are the ones that I know, and I hope they kind of help you remember the places you know. The East Side was the area east of the Coat Street Railroad tracks, and it was occupied by merchants, and there was a hotel there, a barber shop, taverns, sundries, ice cream shops, and in addition, there were bakeries and donut shops. Now, a short recollection I have is that the first daylight donut shop in Moberly was on the corner of Moulton and Coates in the old Baltimore Hotel building, and maybe we'll talk about that more in depth at some other time. However, I'm going to talk about some of my personal favorites. First, mostly at any time on the East Side, there was a restaurant, and it was often run by a lady named Daisy Bozarth. Now, Daisy, among other things, could bake the best chocolate cake with chocolate icing that I can remember. My wife does a very close second to it. But as a child, I would go in and get a glass of chocolate milk and a piece of chocolate cake. I would eat the cake first and save the icing to last, but it was really good. Now later, Daisy, who was semi-retired from the restaurant business, opened a donut shop. And that was in the old Bogey's Cafe building just west of the Randolph Dairy. Now, on many days when I was walking home from junior high, middle school, we'd walk down Coates Street rather than Rollins, and my friends and I would stop in Daisy's Donut Shop. Now, on any regular day, you could get a glazed donut, and it was great. But on some occasions, you could persuade Daisy to add a large dollop of chocolate to that glazed donut, and that made sure that for the afternoon and evening, we were certainly sugared up. Another place that is less certain in my memory was at the alley on the 100 block of East Coates, right in the middle of the block. And apparently it was a bakery for only a short duration. Now, I attended Coates Street Presbyterian Church youth groups on Wednesdays, and my route would take me from the blacksmith shop on All Street through the alley and through this alley by the bake shop as I headed west to the church. Now, I could smell the Long Johns, the donuts, and the cinnamon crisps as I walked by that screen door on the alley. And as I recall, most often I would make a quick knock on the screen door and just holler in to anybody who was listening, "Do you have any extra Long Johns?" To my surprise, on one occasion, and one occasion only, a young man thrust his hand out of that screen door with a chocolate Long John inside a paper napkin for me. So I had a happy trip on up to the church that particular Wednesday. And a few days later, I heard that that young man had gotten into quite a bit of trouble, giving away that one Long John. Now, I think his name was Bill Milnes, the young man that worked there. I tried to confirm that with some of the Milnes family and didn't get that all done. But I think Bill was the guy who gave me the Long John. Now, a final donut shop. Now, this is a little farther out than the east side. It was located on North Morley and exactly on the lot where the McDonald's restaurant is today. It was owned and operated by Mrs. Loretta David, and it is said that her beloved donuts created a craving for both children and adults alike. Now, she operated that business for 15 years, 7 days a week, actually 7 working nights a week, so that they'd be ready early in the morning. And she made donuts for both wholesale to stores and restaurants, as well as to her retail customers. So any of you out there that remember the bakery on Coates Street or the one out on North Morley, well, call in and tell me what you remember about that. Now, in summary, I hope there's at least one of these bakeries you remember. In this half hour, I couldn't do an extensive sweet history, because this 3-ring binder that the late Judy Orton put together is immense, and it has a lot of information in it. So if any of you out there are interested in more of this sweet history, and you have a sweet tooth, come on by. The museum at Coates and Clark Street will have this book, and we'll have it so that you can take a look at it and maybe even make some copies of a recipe that you find in there. We are going to try to contact the Gillen family to see if we can come up with some more of their recipes that so many people enjoyed. And maybe someday the Historical Society can find someone who would edit all of this information that Judy has and put it away in a form of a book so we can publish it in her honor and memory. And it is quite an accomplishment, let me tell you.
Right, very good. We may have a minute or two if somebody wants to phone in regarding their memories of bakeries in Moberly. You can call in at 263-2424. You can call 800-892-2300. And just like that, we have a phone call. You want to go?
Go ahead.
All right, let's open up the phones. You're on with JW.
Yes, I was calling in about Daisy. My grandmother, Nellie, used to work for Daisy, and both at the restaurant and I think she worked at the donut shop for a while. That I'm not sure about. I don't remember. But I went to the auction they had when, they didn't have it for 7 years for some reason in the family after Daisy passed away. And I have a doll that she crocheted a dress on, and it has bright red hair and lots of jewelry on. It reminded me so much of Daisy.
Just
when
like
I
Daisy.
Was a child.
Yep.
Yes.
Daisy is such a vibrant person, and as a young
young
child, when I would go into her restaurant, she was always very friendly, of course, often waited on me in addition to the other people there, but Daisy was just, she was a cutie, and worked hard, let me tell you.
All
yeah,
right.
I also ended up with a couple of pages from the, her menu. From the restaurant.
Very
so I
good.
I wouldn't get rid of that stuff for anything.
Hey. Well, nope. Hang on to it.
Thank you for your memories. We appreciate it. You're on with JW.
Yeah, I had a question. I remember my grandmother telling me, or my mom telling me, that our grandmother used to work at a place called the Candy Kitchen in Mobley. I think this was in the 30s.
Yep.
And I just wondered if it, where that would have been located at.
That was in the Jennings building at the corner of Williams and Reed Street, owned by Bob Mongler at this point. It was in the basement, in fact. I think there was a small room on the first floor, but they did their work in the basement. And likely that'll be a subject for another time. It's very interesting, and I tell you, it was the Talons that were involved there early. And, of course, they were Greeks, came to Moberly, had some trouble getting their American citizenship. And that's a story in itself, because when they came over, they gave the American equivalent of their first names. And so when they went back to get their naturalization papers, they had to use their actual Greek names. And they got turned down the first time.
Yeah.
But the Talons were one of those entrepreneurial families in the Candy Kitchen. And just to let people know, the marble slab used to make candy in that kitchen still exists.
Oh, yeah.
We know where it is, and once in a while they make taffy on it, so that's kind of neat.
Very good.
Tell about that another time.
All right, there's your teaser for a future program. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
So I'll be right across diagonally from our radio station here downtown. All right, just got a break in the calls for a moment.
Okay.
If you want to grab a line real quick, JW, what do you want to finish up with?
A couple of things. We had a soft opening for the Railroad Museum last Saturday. We were open from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., had 8 visitors. People came in, were very interested in what's there. In fact, we had a family from Las Vegas, Nevada, that just thought it was the most wonderful place in the world, and we appreciate their comments. So we're going to try to have that Railroad Museum open more, and it certainly will be open at least Friday and Saturday of Railroad Days. Last subject.
You want to talk about storms?
Let's talk about storms just a little bit.
We've got a few recently.
Everybody remembers the July the 4th tornado in Moberly.
Not the only one.
Not the only one. But you can go back to 1907 in May when there was a cyclone, and then in 1910 in July, in fact, almost on my birthday, July the 18th, the headlines in the Monitor Index says, big hurricane in Moberly. Well, the hurricane was a cyclone or a tornado, whatever they called it back then. But the interesting part is a local historical researcher helped me find out some information about my family. The article states that two people were injured in this cyclone / hurricane, and it happened at Willits Park, a baseball field in Moberly. And my grandfather and my father, who was 5 years old, took cover underneath the grandstand, and it fell on them. Grandpa had a concussion and a large cut. Dad had a broken collarbone and a large cut, and that was quite a bit of history that I had no idea about, and this is the kind of thing that you can find out as people go through some of the old records. So I encourage you, if you want to do any genealogy, do that. Last thing, mentioned that this was at a baseball field called Willits Park. Where was Willits Park? And who was Willett? We'll try to get that for another time.
Thanks for coming in.
You bet.
Sweet program here on Quicks Land this morning.